Exodus 25, verse 1, hear the word of God. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel, that they may take for me a contribution from every man whose heart moves him. You shall receive the contribution for me, and this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of the furniture, so you shall make it. This is God's holy and infallible word. Notice in verse 8, which forms the overarching text for the comments that we have today, God says, let them build a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. When you read scripture, you read many places about how God dwells in the midst of his people. The psalmist in Psalm 27 says, one thing I have asked of the Lord and I will seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In Psalm 84, he says, a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. In the passage that we're going to look at today, God is ordaining that Israel would build a tabernacle. This passage is about the tabernacle that God commands them to build. And it's a tabernacle for God to dwell in their midst. And as God dwells in their midst, he is going to bring them peace, and they will flourish as his people, and he will restore them to himself. And all of the praise and all of the things that the people of God do will now be centered upon the tabernacle and upon the God who dwells in the midst of their people. Chapter 25 is where the discussion of the dwelling place of God with his people begins. Build the tabernacle. And as I mentioned a moment ago, some commentators, writers of scripture, writing comments about scripture, say very little about the next 13 chapters of Exodus as they speak about the tabernacle. They have called it monotonous, dry history, ponderous, pedantic, and lacking artistry. Lacking artistry? Read what is spoken of. It's filled with artistry. The details of the tabernacle that are in the next 13 chapters are given to describe the beauty of the place that God has elected in which he would be present with his people. The God who is ultimately holy, unapproachable because of his holiness, has said, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell with my people. And as we look at these verses and the chapters that come ahead of us, or that follow, we will see that the materials and the workmanship of the tabernacle and all of the things connected with the tabernacle will underscore the beauty of that holiness of God. What God does in chapter 25 is he says, basically, take a collection. Some people have objected to preaching on taking up a collection. You know, that's sort of a bad thing to tell people you have to give to God. Some people really think that's bad taste. But God puts it right here. He says, tell the people that they may make a contribution. And from their heart, they can give, and they can give all of these things. And notice, there's nothing that is, in terms of the things that he mentions here, lacking artistry. He speaks of the gold and the silver, the bronze, the purple, scarlet yarns, finely twined linen, goat's hairs, tan goat's hairs, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices, onyx stones, stones for setting for the ephod, and he goes on. All of these things are things that God says you may give, and you may give them to build the tabernacle, and that tabernacle will be where I will dwell with the people of God. The tabernacle was a portable sanctuary. In it, God would come and dwell with his people. And basically, that tabernacle was like a giant tent. The tabernacle would be similar to the tents that the people lived in. But it showed how close God was. That was the blessing of the covenant. God was with his people. Not far away, not in some far off land, but he dwells among his people, and they were his people, and he was their God. And yet this God, who is ultimately holy, is not separated from them by his holy majesty, but he comes near to them in the tabernacle in a special way, so that they may know that God is present with them. If we look at the tabernacle, we can summarize it as a whole. It is a place where the nearness of God is evident. And they are aware of the fact that God's tent was something far more costly and grand than their own. Think of all of the things that God mentions of giving, gold and silver. Not everybody had as grand a tent as the tabernacle was. The precious metals that were used for the construction, the gorgeous colors of all of the hangings and the draperies, the careful attention to all of these things in the tabernacle and its layout would demonstrate the beauty of the Lord. And the beauty of the Lord would even be represented by the beautiful and splendid clothing of the priests and the high priest. Everything would point to the majesty and the glory of God, who is pleased to dwell with his people. God is pleased to dwell with his people, holy, but yet he dwells in the midst of his people. God has also done that with sending forth his Son into the world to dwell with his people. From eternity past, God the Son enjoyed all of the glory of heaven, but he gave that up when he came into the world and became a man, finally dying on the cross. And he did it for one reason: to live with us and to live in us. After he was raised from the dead, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to make a dwelling place for God in our hearts. And we help complete that work by spreading the gospel to the world. We preach Jesus Christ as the Savior who died on the cross for sinners, that the Lord who rose from the dead might be declared, and that people might come to know him and receive him, and that he might dwell in them. And when people believe in Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in them forever. That's why we bring our offerings. That's why we support the ministry of the Word of God going forth, so that the local church may take the Word of God and spread it to the world by preaching the gospel. And in so doing, the living God will come to dwell in the hearts of people through faith. And if we believe in the gospel and we believe what it teaches, then we will give so that this might be accomplished. And we, as we look at the tabernacle of old, we need to be reminded then that the tabernacle was the very center where the presence of God would come. This very center of the tabernacle itself was, of course, the Holy of Holies. And you can observe that in the workmanship there are intricate details, and we'll see that in the chapters that lie ahead. We'll see the types of thread that were used, the preciousness of the fabrics. We'll see the enormity of the zones of the tabernacle. We'll talk in a moment about the zones, the outer, the inner zone of the tabernacle. And the same precious truth of the tabernacle is demonstrated in the metals that are used. They are overlaid with gold, and there are gold and silver bases. All of these things demonstrate the glory of God, and the preciousness of these metals corresponds to their proximity to the tabernacle. Some of the things were in gold, some of the things were in silver. Then if you begin to think as well about the priestly vestments and the garments, some of them reflect the glory and the sanctity of the tabernacle as well. And the same principle that applies to the materials and the workmanship of the tabernacle and the vestments apply to the zones of the tabernacle. And the zones of the tabernacle are the outer and the inner courts, and the outer court where the people were able to gather. These areas are areas in which the people are able to come and to worship the Lord. All of this speaks of the holiness of God. All of this speaks of the fact that he is coming to dwell in his holiness in the midst of his people. He is the God who is holy, but he is also the holy King. And that holiness as King and Lord over all is demonstrated by the tabernacle as well. God was coming to live with his people. They were wandering through the desert, but they were not done when they were wandering through the desert. They were to come to the place where God would be with them as he led them into the promised land. And he would make a sanctuary for the people in which they could worship him. And he would fulfill his covenant promise in which he declared that he would be with his people and he would be their God. Nothing underscores that more so than the tabernacle. I will be their God, and they will be with me. And the tabernacle is the place where God's lordship and kingship is demonstrated in the lives of his people. And the people could come to the tabernacle. They could come, some could come to the foot of the mountain. We saw that in an earlier passage in Genesis and Exodus. But there were some who were able to go up with the elders, Aaron and his sons, and the 70 elders. They were able to go up further up the mountain. But the top of the mountain was the place where only Moses was permitted. These are the zones that are there. And in these zones, some could go to one place, but not to the other. Remember, if the Israelites would even touch the mountain, they would be killed. We see that picture of God's holiness demonstrated in the tabernacle. Mount Sinai was the place where God established his authority over Israel as her God, and the tabernacle was the place where he extended that authority over his people. Not an ordinary building, but a tabernacle of God, the place where God would be able to speak to his people, the place where heaven would touch earth, the place where heaven's mighty King would speak and the people would hear the words of forgiveness and the words of grace. And the tabernacle was also the place that demonstrated the Lord's sovereign kingship over the entire cosmos. The tabernacle was a microcosm of the universe. One of the main things God wanted his people to see in the tabernacle was a piece of heaven on earth. It was obvious from the very fact that God is present. God said to Moses, "Let them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." Heaven is where God is. And so when God came to live with his people, he brought heaven down to earth. He brought heaven into the lives of his people. And he demonstrates his sovereignty over all things and all of creation, even in the tabernacle, the tent. Inside of the tent was heaven, and outside was the earth, and God is the center of it all. The tabernacle included the Holy of Holies, where God reigned in glory. The tabernacle, in turn, was where the heart of Israel and the 12 tribes would come, and the people of Israel would hear God speak his word through the prophets and through Moses to the people, and Israel would know that God was placing Israel in the very center of his plan for what? For saving the nations of the earth. The tabernacle was the most important place in all of the world. A little bit of heaven on earth, the point was not that God somehow could be contained within the four walls of a tent. No, the tabernacle was set up like heaven to show that God rules over heaven and earth. He rules. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He issues his commands. He rules over all. He establishes order. He is the Lord. And we see that especially in the incarnate Son of God, that he is indeed the Lord. Think for a moment with me about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of how the tabernacle was constructed in the wilderness, what about the way in which God came into this world and became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? He came into our existence like one of us, and yet he came with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. Consider for a moment the mysteries of the virgin birth. Consider the secret entrance of the Holy Spirit into Mary's womb, the miraculous conception of Jesus Christ. God became flesh. Consider the way his deity was joined to humanity, that he would take not only a human body, but also a human mind, heart, and will. Jesus Christ is the true tabernacle of God, the sacred space between heaven that comes down to earth so that we can touch the face of God. And unlike the first tabernacle, he is not made of silver and gold. He is not made of wool and skins and hides that are stretched out on a wooden frame, but he is flesh and blood, skin and bone, sinew and tendon, and all of this joined to his divine nature, because he comes as a human in his with his divine nature to save humanity, and he is the Son of God. And there is a way then for sinners on earth to touch the face of God. The only way that we can approach God is on the basis of a sacrifice. We find that true in the Old as well as in the New Testament alike. But that's exactly what Jesus has provided, a sacrifice, so that we might come to God. By his death on the cross, through his sacrifice, he paid the price for our sins once and for all. By making his sacrifice, Jesus has gone ahead of us into the most holy place. He has entered the Holy of Holies in heaven. The book of Hebrews says he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear before God in his presence. In other words, when Jesus made his sacrifice, he took it to the very throne room of God in heaven, and not into some earthly tabernacle. And once Jesus presented his sacrifice in heaven, the way was open for everyone who trusts in him to go and meet with God. And Hebrews goes on to say, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. This is how we obtain access to God. to God through Jesus Christ and by faith in him. If you have found Christ, by faith, you have access to God, the God who dwells with his people. He dwells with Israel of old in the presence of God in the tabernacle, but he dwells with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ the Lord. The message of that great truth is a message that we must carry to this world, that they too may have access to God. Amen.